I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town USA.
Oh, hey, Sharks fans. Thanks for tuning in to another Teal Town USA After Dark, following a beautiful 4-2 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. And believe you me, the Sharks needed this one. Join us in the chat, guys, or hit us up on the Twitter machine. Use that hashtag TealTownUSA and make sure you follow all of the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. And again, if you're on YouTube, as Brody Brazil likes to say, smash that subscribe button. So that part being said, here we go, guys. One game left. I'm joined by Ian Reed, Chris JWX, and Alex Martinet. Not a lot going on those first two periods, but the last one was interesting, guys. And we will start with Chris JWS. Your thoughts on period one?
Hey, now. I thought period one started strong. It definitely leveled off as it went. Period two, blasé. Period three, Sharks stepped up.
Chris, that is boring. Ian, show them how it's done.
Well, the first period was, you know, the calm before the storm. Everyone was arming their nukes. The second period, the nukes were in the air. And then the third period, the nukes landed and obliterated the world.
Wow. The Sharks were like, you may have a hockey stick too, but my hockey stick is bigger and it works.
Alex, your quick take.
Same sort of deal with Chris. I think the Sharks came out a little bit slow. Colorado was really kind of playing for their playoff life at the moment. I think that kind of conceded tonight. And in the second and third periods where the show really got started.
Yeah, pretty much. This one was, I don't know. I was at this game and I was dozing off in the second, but Justin Braun would get things going early into this one, 2:58 into the first from Couture and Bodker. And then it was just kind of a lot of back and forth. But I think part of that, you might want to give some credit to Justin Braun shutting down the Nate MacKinnon show tonight. I think that's really what Colorado was kind of pining their hopes for. MacKinnon was going to get things done. I will say there were more than a few Landeskog jerseys at SAP tonight. But I mean, Braun shut him down. And then what can you say about Couture, the power play, and Joe Pavelski tonight? I mean, really, Pavelski, big-time show from the captain tonight. I mean, Ian, just lay it on me, man. It's hard to get into this one because it was a playoff-type atmosphere, and oh, my God, the Kings have just won an overtime.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll tend to that.
Thanks for nothing, Alex Stalock.
Yeah.
You had one job.
Really? We'll deal with that in a moment. So, Ian Reed, your thoughts just in this first period?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Sharks got out to the quick goal from Braun. I thought they played well enough in the first. I mean, the first two periods weren't super exciting, but I mean, this was a desperate team that were playing. And it wasn't, you know, I just think the expectation that the Sharks should just manhandle all teams at all times is just unrealistic. It was like you said, it was a playoff like game. There was not really much taken, not really much given. So it's about what I expected from a team that basically, you know, their playoffs were on the line and now their playoff dream might be over.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because the Blues just behind them, they play the Hawks tomorrow and then play the Avalanche to finish off. So the season could very well come down to Saturday. Season could very well come down to Saturday for the Sharks as well after the Kings tonight. Chris, your take on the whole, I don't know, I guess I just kind of want to conflate the first and second period because aside from that early goal from Braun, just kind of
meh. It was just there. It wasn't that exciting, but this message sponsored by Sharks Hockey Twitter. I'm sorry. What crappy team only wins 4-2? I mean, why not 20-0? I don't know. Because
yeah, why not?
If you, if, if you looked at Twitter, you would think that the Sharks were down the entire time, 5-0 or something, just the level of doom and gloom. Now, to balance that out a bit, I would say the Sharks are a pretty mediocre team without Kane or Thornton. Like, they are a play at any given point right now, they are a player away from being dangerous or have, you know, posing any danger. Because honestly, I think right now, as they are, if they don't get one of those guys back, they're probably not getting out of the first round. They don't have much of a shot. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I just think they're a player short. And I think Kane will be back. I certainly hope so. But man, if you look at them between Jumbo and Kane and then without Kane, man, they do not look very impressive.
Yeah, it's they do seem to lack a little bit of a, I don't know, an edge. Kane definitely brings some speed to the team, but that feistiness that he brings, that he has,
the slotting. It's the slotting too. Is that, you know, we've had that before, where it's like a guy allows people to be in their right places. You know, takes Joel Ward out of the lineup, hopefully. But that's one of the benefits of having a guy up there. Kind of allows everyone to be where they should be instead of having people playing all over the place and, you know, Melker Carlson playing top 6 minutes or anything like that.
Well, and you look at the scratches tonight, it's like literally you have, I mean, Kane out, Thornton out, let me see, Timmy Heat, of course, Goodrow. There's somebody else that I'm forgetting.
Eric Fair.
Yeah.
Carlson. That's the other
Carlson.
One. But Carlson. And it's just kind of like, it makes you go, all those names are out, and you still watch the game, and you go, I don't remember seeing Hansen. He played tonight? Really? He
played like two shifts in the second period.
Well, he's like he's the invisible man. He's the great.
I was going to say, I don't know if Hansen got injured in this game or if he's in PDB's doghouse or what it is. Dylan Gambrell playing his second game and in the NHL ever, got more ice time tonight than Yannick Hansen. Okay.
Yeah. The question from the chat is, what's the timetable on Kane? I honestly don't think anyone has anyone said it. I haven't seen anything from Kurz or anyone else.
I don't think he plays on Saturday, but I do think he'll be there for game one.
Yeah, that's what I figure. If he's going to be back, they're probably going to hold him out and make sure that he's good and healthy for the playoffs, because right now I think they're not likely to fall any worse than third, and no need to risk. I'd rather have him for seven and in from third place than get second place and have him be out longer.
Yeah, I was going to say that tonight, as far as I know, the victory now gives San Jose 100 points from what I recall from earlier, but my math is a little sketch right now.
Just to scotch off.
Just to scotch off the worst. No, let me look at this. No,
they could still fall as far as the wild card.
Fall to the number one wild card. They will not play Nashville. That's the one thing they secured, is that they cannot play Nashville after this evening. But they still need to – now, obviously, we'll go ahead and we'll see what happens in Anaheim tomorrow evening. But – no, I don't think that is tomorrow evening. Isn't Anaheim like Saturday and Sunday
Anaheim,
or something?
No, Anaheim plays back-to-backs tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah, so – and I know one of those games, the final one, is against Arizona, who's been playing some of the best hockey since the All-Star break. So that's – you can look at that on paper and go, oh, that's a walk. No, it isn't for Anaheim. So we'll see tomorrow night is going to be interesting. Tomorrow night, the Sharks could actually lock up that second, third spot just based on what happens with Anaheim.
Yep. Anaheim has 97 points. They're a sneaky team. Like, I don't know what to expect from Anaheim. They just lost Gibson to injury. I don't know who you pick, though, between LA and Anaheim, though. I think they're both bad matchups for San Jose.
Well,
I don't think either one's a bad matchup as much as there's. Well, yeah, we should store that for later.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. Let's get into the third here. Third period was so much fun because we actually scored some goals there, people. Rantanen would start things off from McKinnon and Barry at 4:43 on a power play goal to tie things up. Made everybody a little bit tense. But just a minute 15 later, again, on the power play, Logan Couture would take the lead and boom, LeBanc and Pavelski. Pavelski, a name you're going to be hearing a lot tonight. Just a scouch later, 4 minutes later, Jonas Donskoy from DeMello and Dylan. And let's just get into that Couture shot for a second. That was beautiful. That was Ian, that was a snipe job.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty. It was just a nice shot.
I think the pass was better from LeBanc than the Couture shot, going from right to left. Couture wide open net. I think that was a well better pass than LeBanc gets credit for. It wouldn't surprise me if LeBanc transitions to a center position just because he seems like he has that skill set.
The dude for the longest time was like top five, top six in assists for the Sharks this season. I mean, the dude, he's a good passer, but we've seen he's got a quality shot.
Yeah. He's a quality shot, but I mean, even when he was in junior, though, I recall him having more assists than goals. Like, he's always had that playmaking skill.
Would you slot him in to like a third line center, say in 4 or 5 years?
I don't know.
I would say not even 4 or 5 years.
Also, I'd use him to steal that danger on the wing. I think having a playmaking force on the wing, I don't prescribe to this idea that your center has to set up the plays and the wingers are going to score all the goals. I think when you can put guys like that together, especially him with like a guy like Couture who can also move the puck and can also shoot the puck. I mean, it makes your offense far more dynamic than trying to be like, you know what I mean? Like having that set.
Also, don't forget that we're moving more and more towards positionless hockey, not fully positionless, but as in the difference between a winger and a center is getting more and more fluid every day. Like, you can have guys who play wing, you know, Pavelski is a perfect example. He can play center, he can play wing, you know, same thing with Hurdle. He can play both. I mean, that's a model the Sharks have always subscribed to, is have a lot of centers. That way you're never at a lack for a pivot, and then have some of them play wing and play, make plays from there, whichever way. So I would say it's kind of, you know, it'll be in flux forever.
I would say LeBanc has showed more promise, though, more potential at transitioning to center compared to, let's say, Hurdle, who has made strides, but there's been more setbacks with his progress to making center. And I don't think they're ever going to go back to trying that with Hurdle.
But LeBanc would have to be able to win draws.
I mean,
and he doesn't take any.
That's something he can work on, but I think he has the potential to do it.
Logan Couture can't win draws, and he plays center.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Sorry. That was, you know, that though, was
speaking of low. Draws, though, at the end of this.
Draws tonight either.
The end of this third period, Pavelski won some key draws.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to talk about the circle for a hot second. But let's follow it up with the Jonas Donskoy from DeMello and Dylan at 10:14 of the second period. So go back to you, Ian. What did you think about Jonas?
I mean, I love Donskoy. Everyone knows I love Donskoy. The tireless effort. He never gave up on the play, and he had to, you know, he showed some great patience on the goal too. And I mean, it was nice. I mean, it was really that goal. I think everyone kind of unclinched a little bit, I would hope. From a Sharks fan perspective, I think there's a little unclinching there. It was like, okay, everything's okay again.
In what regard? In that the Sharks were like scored, or that
it was 3-1.
Hadn't shown up for kind of a little bit, and you know, obviously the shoulder injury.
Yeah, I think the injury was obviously a factor there. I mean, there was such great chemistry on that top line with him and Kane and Pavelski. And then they come back and try and, you know, you come back from being injured, you try and find your way. But, the thing I like about Donskoy though, I said this 100 times, is the guy just doesn't, the motor just doesn't quit with him. He's always, you know, he's always doing something, whether it's scoring goals or, you know, basically being a big reason goals happen. The Sharks are better with Donskoy healthy and on in the lineup than without.
Yeah. Chris, what did you like about that Donskoy dangle, as Rocket likes to put it?
Those dirty Donskoy dangles. By the way, nice pussy, AJ. Anyways.
Hey, yeah.
Hey now. No, like Ian said, Donskoy is one of those guys. He is the Energizer Bunny. He always looks like he's putting out effort. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way he moves, but damn, I love watching him play. He's one of the more exciting guys to watch always. And yeah, I love Donskoy, man. He's awesome to watch.
I'm sorry, I heard somebody's phone go off. Does one of you guys have to go drive for Uber right now, or no?
No, it's just breaking trades here. No.
So
no, I just got a notification about the LA Kings winning.
Those bastards. And then of course, and I know I always get the name wrong. It's essentially Como, right?
Blake Como.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You look at it. It doesn't look like that. But anyway, Blake Como would make things interesting. 13:06 of the third. And of course, it would not be a Sharks game if Long Beach native Matt Nieto did not get on the score sheet somehow, picking up an assist on that one. Alex, were you kind of grabbing your cheeks at that point, just going, "Oh man, they're gonna do it again. They're gonna just piss away a 2-goal lead."
No, I didn't, because I thought even though Carl had a lot of great chances, I thought the quality of them weren't that great. They were all towards the side of the net, not towards the front of the net. And I thought Nathan MacKinnon played a great game. It's just you could totally see that he was tired by the end of the third period. He was really trying to bring his team to the playoffs.
I think you can thank Braun for that. The fact that MacKinnon was just wiped.
I mean, yeah, maybe, but I think that's also more Pavelski, or not Pavelski, Vlasic, that matchup with him. So, one player can only do so much in hockey, and I thought he might be a heart, trophy contender, but I don't think he's probably going to be a runner up to someone else. Probably tired Taylor Hall. Wouldn't surprise me if Taylor Hall wins it.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about one player doing something. What did you think about Martin Jones's game, especially in the last few minutes there, Ian?
Martin Jones has been really, really good of late, in my opinion. I don't think that,
he's no Alex Stalock, but
who is? I mean, other than Alex Stalock, I don't know. Like, I think Jones has been really good for down the stretch, considering the amount of games he's played. He had that kind of that midseason slump that he seems to have every year now, that we always panic about. But since then, I think he's been great, and I'm totally fine with Jones's play going into the playoffs.
Yeah, Chris. We'll wait for Chris to.
Sorry, trying to find my unmute button there because my computer is currently it's taking off or something. I think it's on takeoff mode.
Did you get that computer from Puck Guy or something?
I know. Well, it is a 6-year-old computer, so I figured. But real quick note in the chat, Chester Chivo saying that I need to pay $3 a minute when I talk sexy. Like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Good burn there. Good burn. Fair enough. Jones, though, I assume, I could see 50-50 on whether he starts the next game, but I'm comfortable with how he is playing right now. So, like Ian said, he had his slump. I was saying I'm not panicking until he's playing that way in March and April, right. And he's playing a lot better now. Because the you don't need to have the best goalie in the world. See Niemi, Antti, guy that won a cup 8 years ago. You just need to have your goalie playing well when the playoffs come around, and you need to have a defense that can clean up all those terrible rebounds they gave away. Again, Antti Niemi.
What did I do to you, Chris? I thought we were friends.
Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, it is fighting words to besmirch the name of Antti Niemi with Alex on the chat here. Sorry, is he your uncle or something? Or is Antti Niemi your uncle Niemi?
No.
I'll tell you, the one thing that made me a little nervous during the back end of the third period is it felt like the Sharks kind of fell into that, like, quote unquote prevent defense, especially after the goal from Como. I was just kind of like, oh man, they're just sitting on this. They're just hoping that, like, Colorado makes a mistake. They weren't forcing the play. They weren't having any type of sustained pressure in the offensive zone. And I was getting a little nervous about that, my friends. I'm just going to say that right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ian. I mean, that's always a concern with this team is sometimes they get a little too passive with the lead. But, you know,
we all saw Dallas 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah. That was a special – that was its own little special pile of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – again, though, I mean, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. This is a team that's fighting for its playoff lives, though. I mean, you know, so they're obviously going to put the pedal down as they're watching their season literally slip away from them. You have to. I mean, I'd be disappointed if I was watching, you know, if Colorado was my team and they didn't put the pedal down with the season on the line. I mean, you know, I think you have to give the Avalanche a lot of credit for putting the pedal down and really trying to push, you know, push their way back into the game.
Well, and wasn't this like Colorado's third and four nights, or did they play yesterday or something?
It sounds about right.
Yeah,
I was gonna say. So
we'll just go with that. Yes.
Yeah. Why bring facts and or anything like that into this? I mean, that's
sounds right.
Preparing is for professionals, okay?
Yeah, I know. I know. Jeez, what the hell? I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling. I'm looking.
He's Googling. He's working quickly here.
Colorado.
He did not play last night.
Yeah, they played. Colorado played the Kings on Monday, and then they played the King. They played the Ducks. They played the Ducks on Sunday. So this is their first game in 2 days.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say that's actually, yeah, you're right, because I just remembered Colorado played in SoCal on Monday, and then they literally flew into San Jose Monday night. So, and then the Sharks played Tuesday night. So the Avalanche had been here and rested. So
in other words, the Avalanche did not have many excuses tonight.
No. No. Yeah.
Well, Varlamov maybe.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? And you got to give, I think Bernier played a good game too, considering he was apparently under the weather, but still went in. So,
yeah.
Kudos to him.
Yeah.
Because I thought he played a good game.
Yeah.
More than we can say for Lance.
So, what happened though during this game? Because, I mean, it was a close game all the way through. And it was funny, the same thing happened when we played Nashville a week ago. Is I follow a fair amount of Nashville fans and a fair amount of Colorado fans. And in both cases, I see Sharks fans just pissing and moaning. And I see Avs fans pissing and moaning about how terrible their team is playing. And that's what's always funny to me is, like, if your team is not dominating, then they must be sucking or something.
You're saying that like that's a new thing, like that hasn't been on Twitter for like the last 5 years.
It's an incredible contrast when you see them side by side, though, when you're like, that's an Avs fan. And that's, you know, like you're seeing mirror images of each other. When it's a close game, both just think their team is abysmal and awful and the worst. And it's like, yeah, hockey Twitter never changed.
The lack of scoring in NHL, and so you don't see the amazing highlights daily from your particular sports team, and so when you get blown out or you lose, you tend to overreact more in hockey.
Maybe a bit, but I think it's also just that there's so much parity, like it's not. Yeah. It's not a league where you see a ton of blowouts. It's even the best teams lose to the worst teams. It happens.
Now here's a good one on the chat. And if you have any questions in the chat, now's the time. I'm throwing it to the chat right now. But Matt Webdev calling it now that the final will be West Side Story, people, Sharks versus Jets. And if that happens, I will buy an Alex Martinet jersey.
May God
help you us should all. Buy an Auntie Niemi jersey.
Ooh,
yes. What's the difference?
Wow.
Well, one's worse than the other. You pick which one? I don't know, chat. Just do one for Martinet, zero for Niemi. One for Martinet, zero for Niemi. Let's put this to a vote.
Oh, yeah. I don't see that. If you heard us talking about this a couple days ago, Ian and I were chopping this up, and we both kind of were leaning towards Boston-Nashville as the final.
And if the Sharks play the Flyers in the Stanley Cup Final, I'll buy it. I'll buy an Evgeny Dabakov jersey.
Niemi is off to a landslide here. Niemi is winning right now.
I like what Sleepy said though. Whereas if it is a West Side Story Conference Final, if the winner gets to throw the others, you know, if the Sharks win, Kane just throw Buff stuff in the shower.
I thought like Sharks Maple Leafs would be like so Sharks. I love this though. Everybody say, "Oh, Niemi." You know what? That's fine because I was at hockey. We'll give a shout out to Hockey X in Superstore up in Oakland. I was there just about a month or so ago. They literally had a authentic third generation Niemi jersey for like $50. No one's buying it. I can run up there and pick that up, no problem.
Even if you count for duplicates, I think Niemi is like Niemi just blew out Alex Martinet. I'm sorry, Alex.
I don't particularly mind.
Oh man, some great stuff in the chat tonight.
Yeah, good. Speaking of the chat, let's go there.
Buy his jersey that has zero cups.
Hold on.
The 50-50 raffle in Vancouver tonight. True.
No, buy a jersey that says zero cups. Those jerseys already exist, but instead they say Sedin on the back of them.
Oh, man.
No, you got to give it up for the Sedins. Their last game in Vancouver tonight, and from what I remember, the game-winning goal came from Henrik, assisted by Daniel.
Yep.
So,
very iconic moment, and I believe they also got their last flops on home ice as well.
Right.
They evaded physicality for the last time at home. All these things.
Were they given like the silver snorkel award at the end of the game this evening for all the dives? Is that what it is? Benjamin saying, other way around. Okay, Daniel scored it off Henrik. Okay, whoop de doo. One Sedin assisted the other Sedin on the final. You know,
are you sure that they didn't just switch jerseys? Because we don't even know which one's which without the jerseys. Honestly,
that's
true. Are any of the Sedins like Hall of Famers in your opinion?
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, I listened to a lot of NHL on XM, and they were actually discussing that this week. And most of the people on there all agreed that they're first ballot Hall of Famers, and.
Okay. But do they go in as separate people or do they go in together?
I think that's the case.
The first two-headed bust in NHL history.
Might as well.
Just Sedin that just what are their numbers again? Like 33 and 23 or something, or what is it?
33 and 22.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But, it should be a single, like, you know, Franken jersey where it's like two jerseys stitched together.
55.
So there you go, 55. Let him go in and 55, and you know, and the placard can say almost in 2011. That could, you know, there you go.
I want a display of whichever one it was that was getting punched repeatedly in front of the ref.
Yes,
that's what I want.
Didn't play in Vancouver, do you think they would be Hall of Famers though?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, if they had the same career anywhere else, they would be Hall of Famers.
Like, yeah,
I think so.
Florida Panthers, they would be Hall of
Famers. I don't know about that.
Any team, like,
look at the numbers, dude. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, look at the numbers. They have the numbers, but I think it definitely is easier path to the Hall of Fame if you play in Canada.
Easier, but the numbers are there.
Yeah.
Like, if their numbers were a little bit lower, yeah, maybe we'd have that discussion. But I think it'd be the first case, though, of a bust looking less creepy than the real person. That'll be the first time in
history. I think you just look at the numbers, though. I think the numbers speak for themselves with the Sedins. I mean, all joking aside, I mean, it's amazing how I'm glad that we are ripping them because there's been a lot of there's been a lot of people who have done nothing but rip the Sedins, and now suddenly they're like, oh man, these guys are the classiest guys to ever play the game, and blah blah blah. No,
you know what? You're so right.
From USA, we are freaking real. And
no, you are so right. Real. No, you're right. Let me just say my quick story about the Sedins and the Vancouver Canucks as a whole. I was introduced to TSN 1040 back in 2011 during that run that Vancouver. Now, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that 2011 run for Vancouver, didn't that essentially start off with the goal against the Sharks off the stanchion to win that series? Am I correct in saying that in 2011? That happened in 2011, am I right?
I feel like that is correct.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was in the conference finals, but yes.
Yeah.
I mean they were dominant all season. Like that was one of the best seasons in Canucks history.
But yes, but the Canucks got through San Jose off that ridiculous stanchion goal. Right? So yeah, Bieksa off the stanchion. So the Vancouver moves on. In Boston. This is what just made me loathe the Sedins as a whole. Yes, there is the Thornton finger up the nose, and again, the Sedin, whichever one that was, Henrik Daniel, I really don't care, but whoever it was, really didn't stand up for himself. He kind of took it a little bit, swatted, basically. If I'm Sedin, he's getting a forearm shiver, like, in a big way. Instead, Sedin was trying to swat at it like a fly. And then you see the series between Boston and Vancouver in 2011, and the things that stood out for me, the Marchand completely upending, I believe, Daniel Sedin. And then later in the series, I think game four, just speed bagging. And Sedin just was taking shot after shot to the face, didn't stand up for himself, didn't do anything. But the thing that really threw it for me about Vancouver is listening to Vancouver post-game radio during that series. After the first two games, and if you remember correctly, those first two games, I believe they beat Boston in game one, 3-2, and they beat Boston 2-1 the second game. Two games, each one, they only won by one goal. The third game three, Vancouver lost like 8-0. I mean, it was a blowup. But after those first two games, post game on Vancouver radio was from all the Canuck fans, we should let Boston win one in Boston so we can win the cup on home ice. The entitlement was dripping out of the phone. And that's what made me hate Vancouver Canucks fans for the rest of my life.
They still have a Canada team hasn't won the Stanley Cup in how long?
Here's the problem with that though, because I remember there was a certain series with LA where everyone was like, "Yeah, we want to beat up. We don't want to beat LA at home."
Oh, you're not talking about it was 3-0.
No. I wanted that. You do not. You cannot accuse me of that. You can go back and check my tweets. I was saying step on the throat, finish them. I don't care if we don't get to finish.
Absolutely agree. But I'm not saying that of people that are currently on this panel. I'm just saying there was a lot of that, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, I was very much like, no, I want to rip their throat out in front of their fans.
Yeah,
I'd much rather do that.
That's my whole thing. There's nothing better than celebrating on the opposing team's ice, because that's a gut punch to those fans. I mean, ask any Sharks fan that was at Game 6 in 2016.
And mind you, they were very classy, which I was glad to see. But yeah, that's definitely a gut punch
to everyone, but besides Gary Bettman.
Well, I mean,
think that happens at pretty much every rink.
It doesn't matter if it's home or away. Bettman gets booed. I mean, I think I remember before the game, people were saying, like, if they win tonight, just make sure if you're there, you stay for the ceremony, you be classy, but you damn well better boo Bettman. Like, if nothing else, that's the only thing you better do.
Isn't that, like, synonymous with just, like, the NHL as a whole?
Roger Goodell gets a bad rap, but it's not as bad.
For the longest time,
like commissioner though, like I feel like,
yeah, pretty much. I mean, who was that cat for the MLB forever that caught
Bud Selig?
Yeah, and it really came to a head when he allowed the All-Star game to end in a tie. You know, I mean, there's find me the commissioner that's beloved. I mean, maybe I forget the guy for. Paul Tagliabue
for Paul Tagliabue, but he was also a great politician too. He was a better politician than the rest of them. But they all work for the owners, and that's the reason why ultimately they all end up hated, because they ultimately, their job is to make money. And if they make money by screwing over fans, well, they'll line up and screw over the fans. Doesn't matter.
Pretty much. So I think we've covered the whole Sedin thing. Good for them is what we're saying.
Good for them. Oh, good for you.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
Come on, AJ.
I know, it's funny. So
you have Sedin, one job.
You're walking away after 18 years.
Oh, good for you.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know why that didn't play through the sound. Why didn't that go through? I was looking forward to that. Let me try it again. Hold on.
Nope.
What?
Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
How about there now? Much better? Okay, I think I just blew Chris's ears up. Okay, cool.
That's good. Yeah, a little high on the game there, buddy.
Sorry.
We are anyway, a professional outfit here.
All right. I don't really see anything else from the chat. No questions. We ask you for questions, you guys. It's off and on. So
we ask you for questions. You make fun of us. Never change.
Right. So I think it's time to go to the NHL wrap around and cover what happened this evening outside of the Sharks. And we start in New Jersey, where the Devils picked up a 2-1 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. No, Marlowe did not score. And Chester Chivo asking if I have a woo sound effect. Of course I don't.
Just to point it out, though, but the fact that you're starting out in the East, you reached all the way over there, didn't you?
I did. It was a bit of a reach.
And then we'll come back around the league, right?
That's right.
Bit of a reach.
A reach and then back around.
Kincaid picking up the victory in that one. And net on the island. Boy, what happened to the Rangers, man? 2-1 victory. Isles over the Rags. Halak picking up the victory over Pavelic. No goal scorers of note. We move on. And having more fun in that part of the Eastern Conference, the Flyers beat the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3. Elliott over Darling in this one. Just somebody who scored for the Canes only because I like saying his name. Aho. That's right. Aho. He got one.
Your mom's.
Yeah, your mom scored tonight. Good for you. Wow. We move over to DC and find that the Predators would be victorious over the Washington Capitals 4-3. Saros picking up yet another victory. How much is okay? I'm just throwing this out now. Ian, can you like check cap friendly? I mean, like, what is Saros's deal? Like, who is is Calgary making a run for him next to Edmonton? Somebody for UC Saros?
I think he's still relatively young, still. I think he's restricted.
Oh my god. Well, there's no way.
UC Saros is great. Like, for a small goalie, I love UC Saros because, like, he's a goalie that's just not supposed to be successful in the league in this day and age where, you know, you're supposed to be this 6'7" monster, and UC Saros is not a 6'7" monster at all.
Yeah, everybody thinks you're going to be Ben Bishop, but I mean, Saros, dear lord. Smith picking up 2 goals in that one for the Preds. And Ovechkin, of course, notches his 47th on the power play. Moving down to Columbus, Ohio, the Penguins would be victorious over the BJs 5-4 in overtime. Oh, look at that. Kessel picks up 2 tonight. Murray over Bobo. Down in Detroit, the Big D. Montreal victorious 4-3 over the Red Wings. And look at that. Antti Niemi gets a victory.
Hey
now.
Yeah, UC Saros is 22. He's an RFA next. He's an RFA going into next season.
That dude's gonna get paid. In the shock of the night, the Florida Panthers beat the Boston Bruins 3-2. Bobby Lugh.
I don't know about that. The Oilers just beat the Knights tonight.
Oh man, that's a weird night tonight. Bobby Lugh gets the victory over Tuca in that one. Down in the peg. The Jets beat the Flames 2-1. Hellebuck gets another hella win in that one.
Ties the record.
Right? Wheeler and Stastny both pot nets their goals in that one. God, man, Hellebuck.
That's was Vegas in action tonight? Because I could show you some holla.
Oh, yes. Vegas was in action, and actually they left the comfy confines of Las Vegas Boulevard behind New York, New York, and end up falling to the Edmonton Oilers 4-3. Talbot picking up the win, Subban picking up the loss in this one. And, yeah, no scores of note. Yeah.
No holler.
And so, final in overtime down in Vancouver for the Sedins final game. Vancouver 4-3 over the Yotes. Sedin picking up, Daniel Sedin picking up his 22nd and 23rd goal. The 23rd one, of course, coming in overtime and on the power play, no less. So, how much can you give him? But the star of this game, of course, Rocket's favorite, Virtanen, got on the board in this one. And then finally, the game you heard us talking about earlier, the Kings over the Wild, 5-4 in OT. Quick over Stalock. Alex, you had one job. And the thing that really pisses you off in this goddamn game is Dustin freaking Brown had 4 goals.
Alex Stalock rocking like it's 2013.
Oh,
4 freaking goals. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, Laurel. The Desert Dogs.
Desert Dogs
lost to Vancouver.
Desert I hate Dogs. Desert. I hate Dustin Brown, but he's had a decent season this.
No, evidently fuck him and the horse he rode in on.
You take the letter off of his shirt and all this, or his jersey, and all of a sudden he can play. But are you kidding me? I mean, power play goal, overtime winner. I mean, Dustin Brown like literally had like the best game he's ever played.
I think that says more about the Wild than the Kings. Like,
I think it says more about Stalock than anything.
Yep.
Drink.
That would be pretty much it. So I'm working on getting an audio file from Rocket. At some point, it will come in. I'm still waiting for it to load.
We are waiting for it. But yes, there will be a Rocket if the playoffs started tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not really understanding why this hasn't loaded yet.
Technology is great. It really is.
Yeah. I'll give you an opportunity to vamp a little bit. So right now, and I'll start with you, Chris, Big Mouth. Who do you want for the Sharks to see in the playoffs and, you know, and show your work?
Honestly, I'll take either one. I'll take the Kings or the Ducks, but I want the Ducks more. I don't know. Matchup wise, it's about the same to me, but I want the Ducks more because the Kings got some payback for that reverse sweep, but we have not had any kind of payback for the Ducks taking us out in our President's Trophy year. So that's who I want. I want to exact at least a little bit of revenge on them for that moment. Ian, what do you think?
Give me the Kings. I don't know. I want to go right into the fire. I think that while Dustin Brown is on the Kings, I mean, you still have Getzlaff, you have Perry. I mean, that Ducks lineup is rough. And then my concern with either of those teams is that if the series goes too long, how are you getting out, especially with how banged up the Sharks have been already? So, but I'd rather take the Kings. I'd rather have the Ducks just go to Vegas, because either way, whoever comes out of that series is not coming out in great shape. And then, you know, you take advantage of whoever you get to play in the next round. So, yeah, give me the Kings. So I think we can beat the Kings. I think we can beat the Ducks too. And if it's Vegas in the second round, hopefully the Ducks have worn them down enough.
Alex?
Same deal, but I feel that the Kings are a really good team this year. They made a lot of great additions with Daniel Panuff or during the trade deadline, which helps give a nice little counterpart to Drew Doughty. I wouldn't want to mess with the Kings until the second round, but of course we're probably going to see you in the first round anyways, like we normally do. I think the Ducks are just a little bit more banged up than we are, which is kind of saying something. Gibson got hurt three games ago. Even though they have Ryan Miller, I still would go up against a backup goaltender in the playoffs over facing Jonathan Quick any day of the week. I still think he's a top five goalie, and I wouldn't want to mess with Jonathan Quick at all. So I'd rather go up against Getzlaf and Perry, who I still think are tremendous players in the NHL still.
I also want the Ducks just because if I do go to a game, Anaheim is a hell of a lot closer than the north side of LA.
Well,
I just lean towards the Ducks only simply just based on the fact of two things. I do think because don't the Sharks own both of these series? Not that the regular season really means anything whatsoever, but didn't the Sharks win both of these series during the regular season? I thought they went like 3-1 versus the Kings and like 3-0-1 versus the Ducks. I know it's somewhere in that realm, but you know,
I will have the answer for you in about 30 okay. seconds.
All right, but. But the last time the Sharks faced Anaheim was like February 11th. The last time they faced the Kings was, Martin Luther King Day back in January. So, you know, things – Jeff Carter's back. Obviously, as Alex mentioned, the Dion Phaneuf deal. I just want to see the Ducks. Honestly, I feel like Getzlaf has lost a little bit. Perry has had one of his worst seasons this year. And I'm just really tired of seeing the Kings, to be honest with you. I want something different. And I also think that if that plays out that way, that means the Kings would face Vegas, which I think would be a colossally awesome series. That'd be a great freeway series. So I want the Sharks to face the Ducks only because I'm selfish enough to want to see the Kings face the Knights. Castle saying, yes, 3-1 versus LA, 4-1-1 versus Anaheim. Wait, what? So yep. We played Anaheim 6 times and LA 3 or 4 times?
If you count the preseason, yes.
Nobody counts preseason. We
played them 4 times, so what I see for the Kings it's correct. It's 3-1 and then for Anaheim we won the shootout 2-1, we lost in the shootout 3-2 and we won 6-2 and we won 3-2 in the shootout. So three shootout games.
Yeah.
And the only game that was not a shootout, we stomped them. So take from that what you will.
Well, and the 3-1 versus LA, that game that was the loss versus LA was the second game of the Sharks season this year. And I remember it like it was yesterday because it was second game of the season and I was there and it was one of the worst showings I'd ever seen the Sharks come out until 2 nights ago versus Dallas.
You forgot about the Dallas 6-0 game.
You know what, though? I felt like the Sharks actually played like all 3 periods in that game. They just didn't get any puck luck. I felt like there was effort through all 3 periods. 2 nights ago, I felt like they got that 2-0 lead and they were just like, we out. You know, we're going to work on that Vegas flu, boys. See you later. I mean, that was
peace. Yeah. So we got some rocket loaded up or not?
Yeah. You rocket tell me, chill. You tell me if the volume's too high or too low, but, let's mute up and enjoy the dulcet 2 minutes of Rocket Backhander, letting you know if the playoffs started tomorrow.
It's April 5th, 2018, and if the playoffs started tomorrow, here's what the matchups would look like. In the Eastern Conference, the Tampa Bay Lightning permanently ground the Philadelphia Flyers. The Bruins rake up the Toronto Maple Leafs and put them in a sack on the curb in Boston. In Washington, the Capitals call an old priest and a young priest to cast out the New Jersey Devils. And the Pittsburgh Penguins give as good as they get from the Columbus Blue Jackets. In the Western Conference, duck pate is on the menu in Vegas, and the Knights are hungry. At the Tank, the Los Angeles Kings renounce their crown for the San Jose Sharks. In Nashville, the Predators scream, "Hey, you suck," at the Colorado Avalanche. And Matt Nieto is still from Long Beach, California. And in the lone show up in Canada, the Winnipeg Jets are ready to teach the Minnesota Wild a hardcore lesson they'll never forget. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I'm Rocket Backhander. Follow me on Twitter at rbackhander76. And remember to subscribe to Teal Town USA to watch the latest live post-game broadcasts and interviews.
I think that was completely worth it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm totally down with that. With the exception of, did she say the Winnipeg Wild at some point, or like the Minnesota Jets?
I think so.
I was too busy. I was too enthralled. So I was not paying attention to the details. But yeah, I think someone in the chat said best, "I need a shower now." So
at one point, I swear to God, I heard something a little off. Like she said something like either the Kings won at the Tank tonight or something. Like there was one or two a little bit off. But you know what? So worth it. So worth it.
I would say that's still at least a 9 out of 10, if not a 10 out of 10.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Yeah, and I can't wait for let's see what she does for Fan Appreciation Night and see how much she appreciates all of the fans.
Oh.
I look forward to that. Hey, now. I look forward to
it. Oh, my.
Oh, my. I don't know that we can top that, guys. So
It's honestly all downhill from here now.
It's all downhill.
Pretty much. So let's wrap this one up. Again, the Sharks victorious 4-2, 4-1.
4-2.
Yeah, I was going to say 4-2 over the Colorado Avalanche. Sharks need one more. They need to pick up that final win versus Minnesota on Saturday to lock in that second seed, get home ice for the first round. For those of you who are a local, hello. Join us at the Tank on Saturday. We're doing the annual tweet up. Normally we do this during social media night. However, there was not one this season. So Fan Appreciation Night it is. And for the people, buttons. If you show up, Puck Guy will have a button with your name on it. Literally.
Who's got the button?
We have buttons, my friend.
You get a button. Everyone gets a button.
Yeah. Yeah. Puck Guy's like the Teal Oprah.
Right? You get a button, everybody gets a button. And Chris, invoking Oprah, Chris also providing some gifts that you will see at the Shark Tank on Saturday. So Chris Oprah providing those. Thank Chris for those. You can pick those up at the tweet up. Of course, it's at Sharks Foundation Kiosk. Outside of section 118 on the concourse, for those of you who like to pregame, let me just draw this out for you real quick. A couple of us are going to be at the Whole Foods, I believe it's called the Floodcraft Brewing Area of Whole Foods. A couple of us will be there about 5-ish, maybe a little bit before 5, doing a little pregame, enjoying some nice cold beverages and brew. Make our way over to the Tank, 6:15, doors open. 6:45 is when we're all going to be getting together to take the first photo, which San Jose, or if you call him like you know him, SJ Sharky, will be in attendance. So make sure you're in for the 6:45 photo. Section 118, Sharks Gas. Sharky will be in the photo with all of us. Then again, first intermission, we all meet up again in case some of you were a little late to the party. Come and join us again. We'll be doing another photo and group hug, if you will. But there you go for fan appreciation. Don't forget, I was going to point over here, but that's a shirtless Jumbo. For some reason, I thought the barbershop Jumbo was over there. But everybody that comes through the door gets a bobblehead. So come check that out. I'm trying to think okay, I'm not supposed to say anything about this, but I'm just going to kind of anyway, just because I have, hold on, let me go. Let me check.
AJ's going to break the rules. AJ's been a bad boy.
I know. Hold on. Okay. You know what? I don't have this. I don't have the stream. How many viewers do we have right now?
39 last I checked. All work and no play makes AJ a dull boy. Come on.
Okay. So
38 viewers.
Okay. We're going to be doing Teal Town After Dark. I'm sorry, Teal Town USA After Dark. Hold on, as my phone goes off, I'm waiting for Eric to like go, no, don't say anything. We're going to be doing Teal Town USA After Dark live from the tank. We also will have somebody here. We're not sure who yet. Could be Chris, could be Landy. We're not sure. Somebody will be also kind of driving the show a little bit from their location, but Eric and I will be at the tank broadcasting live from an undisclosed location. And when I say undisclosed, it's only because I'm not even sure where we're going to be doing it just yet. But
1 mile under the earth.
Yes. But I have been told that we will be getting a special guest. I can't tell you who it is because it's not completely set in stone. But just do yourself a favor. Tune into the next one because it should be interesting. If we're getting who I think we're going to get, you guys are going to love it. So,
I mean, I can't wait for Bette Hedekin. I mean, whoops. But
oh, what an asshole. He ruins the surprise. No, I'm kidding.
or that was the surprise.
Yes. Yes.
Actually, it's going to be Dave Maley. Spoiler. I'm spilling the beans.
How did I not have that like already set up when you said that? I was
just, yes,
you know.
Spoilers, it's Drew Remender.
I gotta keep your hands off my wasabi. That's all I say. So I think we're done, guys. Tune in Saturday night. If you're at the tank, again, we'll see you Sharks Kiosk at side of section 118 between time the door is open. 6:45 is going to be about 6:45, 6:50 when we plan on taking the group photo with Sharky. And then again, first intermission. So come one, come all, come enjoy yourself. Again, for those of you who like to imbibe a little bit of the beverage, I invite you to Whole Foods, 5 o'clock.
So are you guys going to be broadcasting live from DeBoer's Doghouse? Is that the secret location?
No, I wish. How awesome would that be? Nobody's seen that except for like Barkley Goodrow and Hanson. Marty
Halfway. Well, that'll be a special guest. You'll have Barkley Goodrow Hans from Peter DeBoer's Doghouse.
Amazing. I'd be honest with you, I'd rather have Havlat, but he'd probably break an ankle trying to fit inside of it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd trip over the water bowl.
Yeah.
You trip over the water bowl, and I don't know, what's the most obscure injury you could have from tripping over a water bowl? You'd like fracture a disc or something? I don't know.
Yeah, just, you know, like a full chest contusion.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, with that, we're out of here. Peace. Thanks out for tuning in. Again, smash the subscribe button down below if you will. Follow us on the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Threw up some cool photos today. We're not on Snapchat. We're not on MySpace. We're not on Tinder, but we are on YouTube. So smash that YouTube subscribe button. Hit the notifications. Let you know every time we go live, after every game, and even some of those specialty shows, which we do have coming up. So with that...